Is it possible to crown God? I mean, how can you crown God? Who are you? And I just have to obey the Spirit of God. Listen, one of my favorite Psalms, passages of Scripture in the whole Word of God, is Psalm 139. Don't turn there, but listen to my Salim's Digest version. Glory to God. I was the Holy Ghost for someone, okay? Listen, only the blood of Jesus can make you pure again, amen? Now watch this. You can help me out here. I like to say it like this. First of all, you are not here by accident. Amen? Just turn to your neighbor and say, you're not here by accident. Now watch this. Nothing about you surprises God. Okay? Watch. Through the good, the bad, and the ugly, God has always been there. And what's so amazing, God has seen it all, always been there. And I love this. God still has his best plan for your life. And what is so, only God can do this. Though God has seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, knows all about you, where you've been, and he still knows where you're going. And then watch this. Well, I like to say it like this. If you're still breathing, God's not done with you. So if you're still breathing, would you wave? Now turn to your neighbor and say, God's not done with me. Go ahead and tell him, thank God he's not done with you. Now that's good news, amen? Now watch. And what's so amazing, the very next verse, verse 17, tells you what God thinks of you. And though God has seen it all, God is not angry, he's not frustrated, he is not disappointed with you. It says when God looks at you, his thoughts towards you are precious. God calls you precious, irreplaceable, valuable, because it's not based on what you do or don't do. It's based on who he is and what he has done for you. Now watch. When you understand this, well, if you agree with the word of God, just turn to your neighbor and say, God calls me precious. Now, I like to do this illustration. It's $20. If I was going to give it away, would anyone take it? Oh, man, you guys are real. Wait, would you take it if I crumbled it up?
Yeah.
What if I stepped on it?
Yeah.
Why? You guys are so smart. You realize it's still worth $20. The value has never changed. Listen, when God created you, he made you precious and valuable. And sometimes you still blow it. And sometimes pretty disgusting. And we all deal with guilt, shame, and condemnation. But I got news for you. In the eyes of God, you are still precious and you are valuable. It's not based on what you do or don't do. It's based on who he is and what he's done for you. And when you understand that, when you fall down, it's a whole lot easier to get back up. Amen? Now listen. You know, I'm thinking about this. God, as we were singing that song about crowning God, and you can write down passages of Scripture. I'm not going to have you turn to them. I don't know if you can see in the dark anyway. But listen, I'll write down two chapters, or you can remember them. It's Revelation chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 4. Now listen to this. In Revelation chapter 4, there's an awesome scene in heaven with the throne of God. And what's so unique, there's these creatures flying around. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, he who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. But yet there are, watch, there are elders there. Really, they're Christians. At this particular throne, there happened to be 24 thrones, 24 elders, and they were dressed in white. Say, dressed in white. And they had crowns of gold. Say, crowns of gold. And as the creatures cried, holy, 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 these elders, watch this, they bowed and fell at the feet of the Lamb of God. Watch this. And they said something about worthy to receive glory. But what's so amazing, they take their golden crowns and they lay them at the throne. I really believe the feet of Jesus. And I thought, that's an awesome scene as they lay their crowns. And I thought, is that how we crown him? I mean, yes, we crown him in this life, and we're going to talk about that. But what bothers me about this passage, watch this. If you back up in Revelation chapter 3, listen to this. It says, as Jesus is speaking to a church, he said, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold on to what you have tightly. See to it that no one steals your crown. Now, let me tell you why it bothers me. Jesus wouldn't tell you don't let anyone steal your crown unless it's possible for your crown to be stolen. So as I look at this, I say, okay, God, I don't want anyone to steal my crown. But then I ask this question, what is my crown? There's the crown of life, the crown of glory, the soul winner's crown, the martyr's crown, and the crown of righteousness. But I want to make it really simple. You know what your crown is? Watch this. It's God's plan and purpose for you while you're on the earth. It's you fulfilling God's destiny for you here. Now watch. Because many of us know that some that come to the Lord, but they tend to go their own way. And by God's grace, because it's only by grace that we're saved, I believe they'll have entrance into heaven if they knew Jesus. But watch this. There are going to be some that when they stand before Jesus will have a crown to lay at his feet. You know, we said God's not finished with us. And in Romans or Hebrews 12, it says God has a race for us. He puts us in this course, in this race. And I learned something. Watch this, it'll encourage you. The only difference between those that finish and those that don't are the ones that get back up every time they fall. Because I learned every one of us fall. Now watch this. If you fall 1,000 times, you get up 1,000 times. If you get up 999 times, the devil wins. If you get up 1,000 times, you win and the devil loses. And watch. If you get up every time, you'll have a crown to lay at the feet of Jesus. Now as I looked at this, I said, God, because I believe in the same passage that God will watch. God will explain to you how to do what he asked you to do. If I stand here and tell you guard your heart, do you know how to guard your heart? If I tell you to resist the devil, do you know how to resist the devil? If I tell you, as God says, give no place to the devil, do you know how to do that? And I'm going to teach you something real simple. If you find something in the Bible that gives you instruction, you look in that same context and God will show you how to do it. And as you read in Revelation 3, listen to what he says. He says, he tells you, I should open the word, but watch. He's talking to this church. And he says, I know you have little strength, but you've kept my word. Say this, say the word of God. Listen, the number one way to hold on to your crown is the word of God. By hearing, keeping, doing, praying, speaking the word of God. And you know, I want to share something. I believe Scott is preaching through Philippians right now, right? There's a scripture verse in Philippians. Listen to this. I believe it's Philippians 3:16. Listen to what it says. It says, let us live up to what we've already attained. In other words, are you doing what you already know to do that you've seen in the Word of God? So often we want greater revelation and God's waiting for us to obey the last instruction that he's given us. And he's telling you, hey, let's walk the talk that you're talking about. Because if you can't walk this step, how can I give you the next? So watch. I can tell you, I can stand here and say, you know, keep the word of God, do the word of God. I want to give you something that will really encourage you because I'm an encourager at heart. Now watch. God wants you to make it. Watch how good God is. If you will do what you know to do, not only will you keep your crown, but God will show you your next step. And I want to say it like this. If you will be faithful right where you are, God will take you where you need to be. And you can see it all through the scriptures. And so if God tells you, if you're spending time in the Word and God tells you forgive one another, are you forgiving? If he tells you love one another, are you loving? If he's telling you to go preach or share the Word or witness to someone, are you faithful? If he tells you to give, to pray, whatever, are you doing what God has told you to do? If he's telling you to repent, are you being obedient? Now watch, I want to encourage you. If you read, like the first, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament was the prophet Elijah. Do you know who the prophet was after Elijah? Elisha. Now watch, Elisha ends up with a double portion of the spirit that Elijah has. But when God told Elijah to go anoint Elisha, watch this, you would think Elisha, if he's going to be the next prophet, he must be in the temple, he must be praying or fasting. Do you know what he was doing? He was out in the field plowing behind 12 yoke of oxen. You know what he was doing? He was taking care of business. He was right where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to do. And you, some of you think you're just plowing through life. Let me tell you, if you're faithful where you are, God will take you where you need to be. Listen, you can see it all through the Word of God. You know, I think about David. Here, God tells the prophet Samuel that the next king is at Jesse's house. Well, Jesse gets his sons out, except for who? One boy. What was his name? David. He was left out in the field. Why? Because he was faithful, taking care of the sheep. And let me tell you something. You don't need to position, maneuver, or manipulate your way into position, because God knows right where you are. As the prophet comes to Jesse's house, he looks at them all. God says it's none of them. And he's saying, well, who can it be? Well, who was it? It was the faithful shepherd. They thought he was just a shepherd. And God saw a king. Listen, if you'll be faithful where you are, God will take you where you need to be. Are you keeping the word to just be men and women of integrity, of excellence, of faithfulness where you are? Are you faithful at work? Faithful with your friends at church? In service and leaders, are you just faithful? Let me tell you, God looks for faithful people. You just be faithful to do what God has told you to do. Even the disciples, you think about it, they turned this world upside down. And most of them were out just there fishing, trying to make a living with their dad. And God took them and turned this world upside down for the glory of God. You know, D.L. Moody was selling shoes. Billy Sunday was playing baseball. Even Pastor John Osteen, Pastor Joel's dad, was selling popcorn in a movie theater. Let me tell you something, folks. God knows exactly where you are. If you will be faithful where you are to do the word of God that God has spoken to your heart, you'll have a crown to lay at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Say this. Say the word of God. He says, because you kept my word and you've not denied my name. Say the name of Jesus. Listen, if you are not ashamed of the name of Jesus, if you will acknowledge Jesus, he will direct your steps. You know, I don't often share this, but being raised as a Muslim, initially I did. I had to leave home, but God put such a love in my dad and mom, I was allowed to come back home. I couldn't have a Bible, couldn't go to church. But through the years, it's amazing how God worked with my family. And I remember the time my dad, who was wealthy at one time, ended up losing everything. Restaurants, home, car. The only thing we had left was this land outside of Jerusalem, on the north side of Jerusalem. My father's Palestinian, born and raised in Jerusalem. And I remember my father gets a call right when we've pretty much lost everything. And he gets a call. I know this is being taped, so I want to be real careful not to use certain names. He gets a call from the Palestinian Authority, the Muslims themselves, and they have determined to take my father's land. Do you know why? Because his firstborn son, Salim, me, had become Christian, and I was no longer disowned. And this particular Muslim village, they forbid any Christian to possess land. And as particularly the firstborn son, they knew I would be a legal inheritor of the land. So my father gets this word right when he's lost everything, and we end up getting on a plane. While we're on the plane, nothing said for a while, and my father eventually starts to speak to me. He said, son, we have nothing left. And really, he revealed how he felt like he was a failure to his family because he'd lost everything. And we were close. He says, we have nothing left. He said, no restaurants, no home, no car, nothing, no money. He said, the only thing we have left is this land. The only thing in our name is this property. He said, son, please don't let us lose that property. Don't let us lose the land. He said, son, if they believe that you are not a Muslim, they will take this property for us. Please do not let them take our property. No pressure. You know, let me tell you something. I just prayed. I trusted God. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is smarter than we are. And I just prayed in the Spirit. Long story short, we eventually go before their, how do I want to say it? Let's call it judge. We'll just call it judge. In the so-called courtroom that was in is actually in the backyard of his home. Grapevines made the roof. I mean, it was gorgeous, and it was kind of turned. There's people there. the judge is sitting in front of them facing my father, and then I'm sitting right off to the right of my father, and then my mother and my youngest brother. And there's several people there, and there's one man standing in the back who will legally get the land if it should be taken from us. And he'd already worked out a deal to sell part of it to the judge. So we're in great shape, right? And I don't want to share too much, but he was also there primarily as a witness to say that I was not a Muslim. Well, he knew I wasn't a Muslim. He'd seen me preach right over there. And, well, I don't want to get too specific here. As the judge is speaking to my father, he has determined, unfortunately, the only Arabic I really know were my Muslim prayers, the ones that I memorized growing up. And I understand a bit, but we weren't taught to read or write or really converse in Arabic, though I understand a bit. And the judge had determined that my father would be the interpreter if he needed to speak to me or my younger brother. And as the judge is speaking to my father, he finally just asks, "Is your son Salim, is he Muslim?" Well, that's what we were waiting for. And my father says he wants to know if you're Muslim. And I didn't bat an eye. I just said, "No, I'm not Muslim." And I could see my father just turn sick. I mean, his color just changed. And I could see out of the corner of my eye, my right eye, my mother and my brother's face just dropped down. And as my father tells the man, he's not Muslim. The judge says, "Not Muslim, what is he?" I said, "I'm Christian." "Christian? Christian, why is he Christian?" And I was thinking, does he really want to know? And let me share something. This is where the Holy Ghost is smarter than we are. I said, "Dad, ask him why he's Muslim." And my father said, "You can't." I said, "Dad, you're just..." My dad was in the most awkward position as you can imagine. It's his son, but it's his people. It's his own flesh and blood, but it's his land and property. It's his boy, but it's his religion. Let me tell you, he's in an awkward position. I didn't realize it at the time. I said, "Dad, just ask him why he's Muslim." And my dad didn't change. He wants to know why you're Muslim. And I don't even know all that he said, but something like, "Muslim, Muslim, why am I Muslim? My father, his father, our people, our nation, our culture. Now, what do you mean why? Of course, Islam is our life. What do you mean?" And I was thinking, and I said, "Dad, tell him that's why I was Muslim. Because my mother and father were Muslim. But they taught me so much and so well about this God that I believe I can know this God for myself. And I asked this God to show me the truth. And he showed me that Jesus is the Son of God." And listen, my dad has to interpret all of this. And I said, "I'll deny that for no man." And you don't point there. I ended up pointing. I said, "I'll deny that for no man, not for you, not for my mom and dad, as much as I love them, and not even for this land, even though it's all we have." And then I pointed again. I said, "And you can look me in the eyes and know what I'm telling you is the truth." Now I'm talking like this. My dad is interpreting like this. And I was thinking while my dad was interpreting, this was my thought. I thought, my dad must be thinking, my boy standing up for what he believes. We're going to die, but he's standing up for what he believes. And I remember as I finished, "You can look me in the eyes and know what I'm telling you is the truth." There was silence. And the judge is sitting up. He leans forward and he leaned back. And these words came out of his mouth. He said, "I like this man. And let me tell you something. He allowed my father to keep the land. Some of it was put in my name. I don't want to share too much. My dad couldn't get a building permit. Been trying for over 8 years. Got a building permit. Built a little complex there. And since that time, a Christian couple has gone in. And over 30 Bible schools are now in the Middle East because of that one time." Listen, if your ways are pleasing to the Lord, he'll even make your enemies to be at peace with you. I believe that's Proverbs 16:7. But you know, something we quote all the time, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He'll direct your paths. He'll make your paths straight. And all of us, we want God to direct our paths. But do we acknowledge him? Are we not ashamed of the name of Jesus? You know what I learned? If you'll acknowledge him in a relationship, put him first, he directs that relationship. If you acknowledge him in your thought life, he'll establish your thoughts and give you the mind of Christ. Listen, if you acknowledge him at school, put him first. Let me tell you something. God will help you even with your studies. If you acknowledge him with your finances, you untie his hands for him to bless your finances. If you are not ashamed of the name of Jesus, he will direct your steps and you'll have a crown to lay at his feet. Say this with me. Say the word of God and the name of Jesus. He continues to say, he tells them, I've opened a door that no man can close. Those that say they were mine, they'll find out to be liars and they'll come in bounds and say that God loves you. But listen to this. He says, because you've endured with perseverance. I like to say it like this. Because as important as the word of God and the name of Jesus is, there's something that is just as important. And I like to say it like this. It's never give up. Because you know what? There have been times where I have disobeyed the word of God. And I hate to say this. There's been times where I have probably denied the name of Jesus. But I've gotten back up every time. Because so often the devil would like to keep you down. And if you will get back up every time you blow it, let me tell you something. You'll finish your race. And you'll have a crown to lay at his feet. Say this with me. Say the word of God, the name of Jesus, and never give up. Turn to the person next to you and say, never give up. Turn to the other person and say, get back up. You know, and listen, this just comes by the Spirit of God. I believe we had time for this. Because, you know, we make those decisions. But do you know God wants to use us with one another? Did you know that? And just as you told that person to get back up, that's a form of encouragement. I heard it, especially since we're thinking a little bit about baseball here. Watch, wait, I'm not done. Now watch. There was a man named Jackie Robinson. He was the first black man to play professional baseball. You know what? He was good and he loved the game. But anytime you're breaking into new territory, you got to deal with some flack, some harassment, some persecution, some giants, some obstacles, some border bullies that don't want you to cross that border. You hear what I'm saying? And sure enough, Jackie Robinson dealt with some jeering, some mocking, even some threats, but he loved the game and he was good. But everywhere he went, he caught a little flack and a little jeering, but he loved the game and he was good. But you know, over time, it starts to wear on you. And there was a game he was playing once, and he happened to make a couple mistakes, which he didn't do too often. He was kind of like a regular ball player that day. And you know what? The fans started jeering. The whole stadium started jeering and mocking. Threats, things started being thrown out on the field. And he was so overwhelmed by the mockery and the jeering. And he thought, I can't take it anymore. And you know what he decided in his heart? His thought. He said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. That was his decision. But there happened to be a Brooklyn Dodger, little white guy, named Pee Wee Reese. And he walked out of the dugout to where Jackie Robinson was while the jeering was going on. And he put his arms around him and he hugged that man. And as he did, the jeering, the mockery started coming down, and all of a sudden there was total silence in the stadium. And as Pee Wee Reese walked back to that dugout, you know what Jackie Robinson says? He says, That one hug saved my baseball career. And you know what I found out? God has called us to be a blessing and encouragement to one another. And you know, it might be a hug. It might be a smile. It might be, hey, you're going to make it. Hi, I believe in you. Hey, I'm praying for you. Whatever it is, God will use you to help someone make it and to finish their race. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to make it. So listen. Say this. Say, I want a crown. I want my crown to lay at the feet of Jesus. So I will keep the word of God. I will not be ashamed of the name of Jesus. And I will never give up. Now watch. I'm going to tell you the number one way I believe that people throw away their crowns, and then we're going to pray. Because I think oftentimes it's not our crowns being stolen. I think sometimes we throw them away. And I've seen it time and time again. Who here knows who the first king of Israel was? Saul. Say King Saul. Who knows who became king after Saul? David, a little shepherd. Question, did King Saul ever sin? Did King David ever sin? Oh, yeah, everybody knows David sinned. So I looked at this, I said, well, why would God take the crown from one sinner and give it to another? Okay, so watch, sin's not the problem. Now watch, this is important. And when we can say, well, because David had a heart after God, well, what does that mean? What does that mean if you have a heart after God? And I'm going to give you a real simple story in this whole dialogue. Watch. When King Saul's sin was revealed, the first thing he did was make excuses. He justified. He didn't take responsibility. He says, well, the enemy was coming. Our people were leaving. You didn't come when you said. And then even earlier, he said, well, I killed all of them. Well, what's this, cows and these sheep? He says, well, I've saved the best for the Lord. Listen, he wasn't completely obedient. But watch this. He made excuses every time. He wouldn't take responsibility. He would always justify. And when King David's sin was exposed, you know what he said? I'm the man. I'm guilty. I need help. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. And let me tell you something. He kept his crown. As a matter of fact, it was taken from King Saul. And what I want to talk about just for a moment is no more excuses. Because listen, we use excuses all, well, I'm too tired. Well, I'm too busy. Well, I don't have the money. Or how about this? Well, it's my body. Well, no one else will know. Well, everyone else is doing it. It's not going to hurt anybody. Well, how about this? Well, you don't know what my dad said. You don't know what my mom did. You don't know how he. Listen, we've all been done wrong. We've all been hurt. And some of us are hanging on to the past, and all we're doing is we're using it as an excuse to throw our crown away. Listen, no one can steal your crown unless you let them. It's your choice. And listen, God will take what the enemy has meant for evil, and he will turn it for good. But if we keep using it as a crutch, if we keep using excuses about our past hurts, our past pains, our past failures, let me tell you something. All we're doing is throwing our crown away. And it's time that we quit using excuses. You know, I talked about encouraging one another. I think it's just time we start holding each other accountable in that area. I'm telling you, before you leave tonight, somebody will say something, you'll say, well, yeah, but. And if you listen, it's just an excuse. Well, I'm busy, I'm tired. Well, no one else will know. And just think for a moment. The areas where you have decided to not go on with God are not just a decision where you have failed to go on with God. If you will listen to your heart, almost every time there was an excuse. Well, my boyfriend, that girlfriend, my mom, my dad. And so often it's some things that hurts from the past. Oftentimes family related. It may even have been that church, that pastor. Let me tell you something, folks. God knows right where you are. He knows where you've been. He knows where he wants to take you. And let me tell you something. He wants you to finish your race until you see his face. And he wants you to have a crown to lay at his feet. Because you know what? When we finish that race, those who are dressed in white will be there. But those who have a crown, God's going to say, well done. Well done, son. Well done, daughter. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Listen, if you're still breathing, you can still finish. Amen? God's not done with you. You know what God the Father did with the blood of Jesus? He never covered our sin. The blood of Jesus does not cover your sin. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Now watch. You can read in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Watch this. It says that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, think about it. For the wages of sin is what? Listen, when Jesus took your sin, that's why he died. The wages of the sin was death. But the free gift, say gift. The free gift of God is eternal life. Listen, the eternal life is a gift. He throws it on no man. A gift must be received. And if you will choose to repent or turn, change your mind, change your thinking, say repent. And watch this. If you believe in your heart, say heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and confess with your mouth, say mouth, that Jesus is Lord, it says you would be saved. You would receive the gift of salvation. Your name would be written in the Lamb's book of life. God would become your father and you'd never be the same. Now watch how important relationship is. If I had died an early death before I understood this, I'm a fighter. I'm a competitor. But you know Jesus is coming back. Did you know that? And those who don't know Jesus are not in good shape. And I wouldn't have known Jesus, but if I had died an early death and the devil came and grabbed me to take me to hell, I would have said, get off of me, devil. I'm not going with you, I'm going to heaven. And if I turned and God said, well, son, why should I let you in? Listen to what I would have said. God, I pray, I fast, I love, honor, and obey my parents. No alcohol, no sex, no drugs, no cursing. I pray that God, I help people. I do everything I know I'm supposed to do. And you know what God would have said to me? Depart from me, I never knew you. He didn't say you were too wicked, or he didn't say you didn't pray enough. Listen, it had nothing to do with my righteous deeds. He says, I never knew you. You never accepted my gift where I could be your father. Listen, he just wants to be your father. Jesus said, come unto me. He just wants you to come unto him. Have you received the gift? Is God your father? If so, you have entrance into heaven because you're clothed in white. But before you get there, God has a plan for your life. And if you will help me here, say, keep the word of God.
Keep the word of God.
Not deny the name of Jesus.
Not deny the name of Jesus.
Never give up.
Never give up.
And use no more excuses.
Use no more excuses.
I will have a crown to lay at the feet of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, I do pray that you would seal this in our hearts. God, Lord, we see in your word that we can crown you with glory. Father, I desire the crown to lay at your feet. God, I want to hear you say, well done. And Father, because of your grace and mercy, if we still have breath, you're not done with us. And Father, I thank you, you don't care so much where we've been as much as where we're going. And Father, if there's someone here that does not know you yet as Father, if they have not yet received this gift of salvation, of eternal life, may they even in their heart now say, God, I repent. I turn from my old way. God, I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sin. I believe, God, in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. And God, I confess with my heart and with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I now receive your gift of salvation. And I thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, Jesus, I ask you to fill me with your spirit and give me your power to live for you, to fulfill your purpose, my purpose and destiny on the earth that you ordained before I was born. God, regardless of where I've been, I now choose you. Give me a hunger for your word, boldness for your name, a never give up spirit. And God, help me to never use excuses again so that when I see your face, I'll hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Lord, seal this in our hearts. Let us never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand.